I'm all set.
Oh, okay.
You are.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thirteen, 21-877. Good afternoon, everybody. Oh, your desk is falling apart.
Yeah. I think this is a. Go Connecticut.
Welcome to Connecticut. Sir, can you please identify yourself for the record, spelling your last name, indicating the authority you're representing here today, and if you could introduce us to your witness as well?
I am Officer Elliot Arroyo. That's A-R-R-O-Y-O. I am representing the Middletown Police Department, and to my left, your guys' right, is Sergeant Elias Martz.
Okay, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes, I was the investigating officer for the appellant's pistol permit application, and as a result of the application, I found that she selected, she checked no for the section where it asked if you had a protective order in the last 5 years. For that reason, it was denied.
Because you said she did have a protective order during
that
period?
Yes, she did have one in the last 5 years.
She had one
at the time.
Five?
Yes.
Okay.
That was in 2020, and the protective order expired in 2017.
Okay. Ma'am, you're entitled to a brief opening statement.
It was a simple mistake, honestly. I was not purposely untruthful. I've been waiting 2.5 years to tell you that. So, I would not have done that to myself on purpose.
Okay, Officer Roy, you may proceed with your case.
So what I would like to add is, also as a result of the investigation, there was 2 incidents within Middletown where the appellant was arrested for a domestic dispute. And in addition to those 2 protective orders, she also had 2 other ones. I mean, sorry, that 1 protective order during the last 5 years, she previously had 2 other protective orders. So I think, you know, given the history of domestic violence and the most recent protective order, she had that for 400 days. So it wasn't, you know, a short time period, it was pretty lengthy. She had one previous to that in 2009, and then she had one in 2004 as well. For one was over 274 days, one was over 172 days. So it was, you know, it's kind of something that seems like an ongoing thing where she had a protective order for a long period of time just prior to applying for a pistol permit. And then, you know, on the application, she selected no.
Ma'am, this is your opportunity to cross-examine the officer based on what he just testified to. You will have a chance to put on your case, but do you have any questions based on what he just testified to?
I do. In your report, it says that I was the subject of 2 protective orders, but you just said there was 3.
Yes,
so
I actually meant to comment about that. So while reviewing the documents today, I noticed that there was one under her maiden name as well that I must have missed at the time.
Are they all within the 5-year window?
No, just one of them was. Just one was within the 5-year window. There's 2 previous ones.
Any other questions?
I'd just like to state that I also never was actually certified mailed this. Oh, I'm sorry.
You can put on your case. This is
cross-examination. Oh, okay,
yes.
No.
No other questions. Does the board have any questions to the witness?
No.
Yes, Chief.
Did you investigate the nature and circumstances of each of the domestic violence cases that resulted in protective orders?
I'm familiar with the 2 Middletown incidents that resulted in protective orders, yes. The 3rd one, I'm not sure, as I learned about that today.
Tell us about those.
Sure, so in 2016, she was involved in an argument with her husband, at the time, spouse. There was also guests within the house. An argument ensued between her and the appellant and her husband. She had an issue with the guests as well, wanting them out of the house. The argument between the husband escalated to her throwing a glass at her husband. She was arrested for disorderly conduct.
Was the husband arrested?
No, he was not.
Okay. What about the other next one?
That was in 2009. It was seemed to be a sort of a custody issue. There was a custody agreement issue with the person that she had a child in common with at the time. She went to pick up the child. The child did not want to go with her. They got into an argument. The report states, this was in 2009, it states that she struck, pushed and struck the victim. And as a result of that, they were both arrested for disorderly conduct.
And the victim was a, wasn't that a spouse or a?
It was a person that had a child in common.
Is your concern that had gun been involved, it could have been worse than throwing glass or a push?
Yeah, I think
that what we're talking about here?
I think my main concern is just the fact that obviously we know that domestic violence can become extremely volatile with the emotions involved and history. So for those reasons, I think that's you know, really my main concern.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions by the board? Do you have any other witnesses?
No.
Okay, ma'am, you may tell us what you'd like us to know.
Again, I did not purposely answer no. The preceding question, well, I did purposely answer no, but I was confused about the way that it was worded. The preceding question said that you could answer no if you had not been convicted, if anything had been nollied or dismissed. And I was clearly missed the part. Regardless of outcome, and answered no. As you can see by my letters from people that were submitted when I applied, I was fully aware that you guys could pull up any, they could pull up anything on me, find my past. I mean, one of my letters is from a former sergeant of the Middletown Police Department, so I knew I wasn't pulling the wool over anybody's eyes. It was an honest mistake. The incident with my husband, yes, that did happen. We were going through a bad time, and we went to counseling, and we went to counseling longer than was suggested or recommended, and we are doing great now. The incident with my son's father, there's some discrepancies in the way they said that happened. That was quite a while ago, and I was the one who was actually struck first in that incident, and we are now friends, we co-parent, my son is 25. He comes over and has dinner with me and my husband. So, I'm not sure what much more to say. I don't know how that comes into play because the letter I received said that the only reason for me being denied was that I was untruthful, not due to the multiple protective orders. It said that I was untruthful in my application.
You have the letter you're referring to?
The letter I received that I was denied said I was denied because I was untruthful.
It also specifically mentions the order.
Yeah, it says...
The one order with my husband, which I wasn't purposely untruthful about, but the one in 2009 with my son's father, I mean, that's not even within the five-year window.
The denial letter we have says the background investigation revealed that you have previous domestic violence arrests, and as a result, you have been the subject of multiple order of protection. Most recently, you were the subject of a family violence protective order that did not expire until 2017. Well, to me, that's
a pretty good letter.
Multiple reasons. Yeah. All right. Cross-examination, officer?
No, I don't need to ask any questions.
Okay. Does the board have any questions of the appellant? Okay, ma'am, you're entitled to a closing statement if you'd like.
No, I think I said everything I have to say. I wasn't purposely untruthful.
Okay. Officer, would you like to make a closing statement?
Yes, I do. I just ask that the denial be upheld by the board just based on the constant, you know, domestic violence incidents, the multiple arrests, and then the answering wrongly of the question on the application.
Comments by the board? I'll just reiterate, I think the issuing authority is entitled to a truthful application. Normally asked, I didn't ask, I should have asked. Did you issue a warrant for her arrest for false statement?
No.
Okay. Could have been subject to an arrest for that, but given the use of this particular application, I think the issuing authority is always entitled to a complete and accurate application. It is sworn to under oath. That's my comment. Chief Rosenzweig. Ms. Johnston.
Issuing authority.
Colonel Lewis.
Issuing authority.
Dr. Conrad.
Issuing authority.
Acting Chair votes issuing authority. Thank you all. Case number 14-21-185.
Waterbury case?
Yeah. 21185.
Yes, it is.
He wasn't sworn in. He didn't stand up.
Okay. Yeah, he was. Sir, you weren't here when we.
He was here.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
You didn't stand up?
No.
No, you got to stand up, take the oath.
Oh.
Why didn't you stand when
I'm sorry.
I was going to do this. I'm telling you to get up.
Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm as the case may be that the evidence you shall give here today will be truthful?
Yes.
Nothing. But the truth shall help you God or upon penalties of perjury.
Yes.
Thank you. You may be seated. Good afternoon again, Counselor. Can you please identify yourself for the record?
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Matthew Reed. I'm an attorney for the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection. I represent the commissioner, who is the issuing authority in this matter.
Thank you, Counselor. Would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes, I will. Unfortunately, I do not have any witnesses here with me today. We subpoenaed two officers from the Waterbury Police Department, but they've not shown, so I will instead rely on the report that's in the record, which is a report that was taken in the normal course of duty by the Waterbury Police Department, and it should be Waterbury Police Department report number 20010159, dated 9/13/2020. This is a case of a report of a stolen firearm, and as the officers describing their report, this is a firearm that was improperly stored in a home. The appellant's son had a friend stay over, and the next day it turns out the gun was missing. This gun is an AR style 22 caliber rifle and turned up missing from the home. The report indicates that it was not properly stored in accordance with what we now know as Ethan's Law, which requires safe storage of a firearm. If there's any chance that a minor, which is a person under the age of 16, is going to have access to it. And so that is the basis of our case. This is a revocation based on suitability.
Okay, sir, would you like to make a brief opening statement?
It was my fault because I didn't have it in a proper safe. And I should know that, you know, when you have a firearm, you got to have it in a safe. But I had it like 9 feet tall, high stored that, you know, no little kids could go there. I don't know how my son got up to there. He's 15 now, but, you know, when that happened, I don't know how he went up there. And sorry, it wasn't shortable. And I also had it locked up. Everything was locked with the lock. Like, when the way it comes in when you buy it, that lock, I had it locked.
And the trigger lock?
Mm-hmm.
Counsel, you going to add anything to the opening statement?
I'll perhaps have a couple of questions for him if you'd like. I can just summarize the case.
Sure.
In the event you haven't had the opportunity to read it in full. On September 13th, 2020, at about 2 o'clock in the morning, 0157 Waterbury Police were dispatched to investigate the report of a stolen firearm. The appellant stated that his son's 13-year-old friend had slept over the night before and had stolen a firearm. The appellant stated that there was a red chamber lock on the firearm, and he kept it on the top shelf of his closet, hidden from view. He stated that it was kept there with the lock because he didn't have a gun safe. The appellant stated that his daughter told him she saw her brother's snap Snapchat story. This is a social media tool, which depicted the son playing with a rifle in their house. The appellant stated that he then rushed home, looked for the rifle, realized that he was gone, and made the report. I'll note that there was no enforcement action taken by the Waterbury Police Department. This weapon is described as an AR-style 22 caliber rifle with 10 rounds. The understanding is that this rifle was later recovered at an outside location, and that a statement from the accused 13-year-old was that it had in fact been fired at some targets. The report also reveals that the appellant owns also a Glock 23, which is a 40 caliber handgun, which is in fact kept secured in a safe, and that was not involved in this incident at all. As a result of this, the information was forwarded to the commissioner and the applicant's permit was revoked.
So there was no arrest?
There was no arrest.
Sir, do you have any questions?
Well, what he read, he said
okay,
my...
Okay, this is a question.
Oh, okay. Then
we
will
be able to talk next. So
okay.
No questions?
No.
Okay. Does the board have any questions of the attorney?
Was the gun stored in violation of the law? If it was...
Yeah,
it truly had a...
Well, there, I think there's a question, and we'll have to, there is a statement from the appellant that should be included in the packet, and the statement doesn't talk about the trigger lock. The report talks about him reporting there was a trigger lock, so I think we perhaps can explore that with the appellant as to whether the trigger lock was there and how it would have been defeated if, in fact, it was there.
Yeah, I had that question, too, but just in for a legal question, that was statute. Is that sufficient?
So the statute says that if you have reason to believe that a minor is likely to gain access to a firearm without the permission of a parent or guardian, you must keep the firearm in a securely locked box or other container, or in a location where a reasonable person would believe to be secure. This is again regarding in-home storage, safe storage of the firearm.
It's more securing the access to the firearm than it is securing the functionality. Of
right.
The
it doesn't. Right. This.
Got it.
Correct.
Thank you.
Other questions by the board? Any other witnesses?
No witnesses.
Sir, it is your turn to tell us what you'd like us to know.
Sorry?
You may tell us what you'd like us to know.
Oh, the one they said that my son posted it. It wasn't my son, it was his friend. Because we went out as a family, and I took his friend, and his friend was posting it on the Snapchat. My daughter, she was in the third row, and she saw it, and that's when we knew. She was like, oh, Dad, she talks to her mom saying, where's dad's stuff? Because I see the closet. And that's when my girl was saying, where's your stuff? And I was like, hidden where I always have it. She was like, well, you should go check because the kid was posting something like that. It's missing. So I went to the house. I checked up and it was gone. And I immediately went to his house and knocked on his mother's door. And I said, listen, your son came over. He stepped over. My gun is missing. And she actually, you know, beat the kid up, and I was like, don't hit him. But she was like, tell me. Yeah, she did. She beat him up, and I was like, don't hit him like that. Just tell him to just give me the gun, and, you know. So they didn't want to give me the gun. I think he called somebody. Somebody came over, and I said, listen, I don't want no trouble. Just give me the gun. And I said, nope, that didn't happen like that. So I just called the cops, and I said, listen, they stole my firearm, and it was him.
Question for the appellant. Can you talk about the trigger lock itself? Mm. Your statement doesn't indicate that the lock was on the gun. Can you describe the lock, how it secured the weapon? Is it by key?
It's by key.
And was it, in fact, on the weapon when it was stored?
No, it was not.
So you have, just to clarify, so you have a lock for it, but it didn't happen to be on it secured?
No, I had the red lock in it, but not the key. The key, it wasn't stuck into the lock. That's what your question was?
Well, my question was it locked at the time?
Yeah, it was.
And how did they, can you speculate? Or do you know how it was unsecured?
That I can't answer because I don't know how they did that.
How long had you kept the weapon stored in that location?
To be honest, since I bought it, I don't know exactly the day I bought it, but since I bought it, I only went to the shooting once, and after that, I haven't been using it.
So how long had you had it at that point? You say since you bought it, does that mean a month,
years,
a few days,
a
year?
Mm-hmm.
And can you describe this storage location?
It's my closet. It was my closet, and I have all my clothes, and there was a higher side. It was like this much of a space, and that's where I stored it.
And is there a reason your child would not know it was there?
I don't know how he found out it was there, to be honest.
And at the time of your possession of this weapon, were you familiar with what's now and then was called Ethan's Law, which was a law that was passed as a result of a 15-year-old boy in Guilford who was killed playing with a weapon that was not safely stored? Does that ring a bell with you? Were you
definitely
cognizant of that particular law?
Yeah.
Okay. And can you understand how your storage of the weapon is very similar to the storage of the weapon in that tragic case? Thank you. I have no further questions for the appellant.
Board have questions?
If the key was not in the lock, where was it?
I had it, to be honest. I lost the key. I didn't even have my own access for it either.
Is it possible your son had access to the key?
To be honest.
Maybe he's taken the gun out before?
Not that I've seen. He can't touch my stuff. Like, I don't let him touch none of that stuff.
Well, you haven't seen it in 2 years, really, you said.
I can't say if he had or not. To be honest, I don't know.
It's possible your son had a key.
You can say that.
It's possible. Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Sir, do you have any other witnesses?
No.
Would you like to make a closing statement? Counsel, would you like to make a closing statement?
Yes, very briefly. This is a revocation based on suitability, as the report shows, and as the testimony from the appellant shows, this is a weapon that was not properly stored in a home. It was in violation. It was stored in violation of the Safe Storage of a Firearm Statute, which is Connecticut General Statute 29-37I. This certainly bears on the suitability of the applicant, of the appellant, and it's the commissioner's position that the board support the revocation and that this permit not be returned to the appellant at this time.
Thank you, counsel. Comments by the board?
Yeah?
Oh, Ms. Johnson.
Waterbury never ceases to amaze me with how little they do in their town. I could write this warrant in my sleep. I mean, honest to God. And you might want to remind Waterbury, there's still time to do the right thing in this case. But I'll be voting along that line.
Other comments?
Just remembering my childhood, which was a long, long time ago, we snooped all over the house any chance we got. And, pull out a step stool and look in all the nooks and crannies. And so that's really the basis of having to more securely deal with firearms or other potentially lethal items.
All right.
Counsel, did you say they recovered the gun eventually?
They did recover the gun, yes.
Well, that's good.
So let me circle back. Where's the ammunition? So the report said it was fired. Where's the ammunition at for the gun?
I didn't get to find out. Or at any rate, I don't know where they were. They said they found ammunition in his house. That's what I heard.
Okay.
So I don't know, where exactly he shot it on.
Okay.
Any other comments or questions? I don't know where I started last night.
It started with me last night.
Every single time. How
can
you forget?
Colonel Lewis.
I'm going to go with the appellant because Waterbury didn't see a need to charge him with the crime.
Oh, there's still time.
Ms. Johnson,
issue an authority.
Dr. Conrad.
I'm going to go with the issue of authority because I feel this a storage issue is a very serious matter despite Waterbury having some difficulty with its protocols.
Chief Rosenzweig.
What did you say? Issuing authority.
I'm here down here.
Actually, Chair Bolt's issuing authority for those reasons as well. Bad things can happen, and I'm glad it was just a water bottle that was really the only good thing here. So that is 4-1 in favor of the issuing authority. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.